I am super excited about tonight because Rob Warren is going to be teaching tonight. If you don't know who Rob is, which I wouldn't suspect that you would, Rob moved here. In fact, Rob, go ahead and come up here, man. Y'all give it up for Rob as he comes up here. So, as you can see, Rob is kind of a small human being, and I wanted to bring somebody that was smaller than me up here, and so, and weaker, and not as, I don't know, I'm gonna stand over here now. Anyways, he moved from Ohio. You're probably gonna tell some of that, so I don't wanna steal your thunder, but he moved from Ohio. He's actually, can I tell them what you're doing in the fall? Okay,
yeah.
So he is planting a church through our SALT network, which we've talked about. In fact, last week we prayed for the launch of our Minnesota SALT company. It launched last Friday night. It was amazing. If you've seen photos online, they had, what, like 300 people there at their first ever launch at the University of Minnesota, which is insane. I mean, most college ministries are around for years and don't have 300 people, and they're already reaching people, seeing people move closer to Christ. But he and a team, in fact, I see a couple of them in the back, are going to be launching a church next fall at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and it's going to be called Doxa Church. And so I'm so stoked he's here. He is one of the best teachers I've heard in this network, and he's a stud. And he is actually a large human being. So anyways, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you, Rob. And,
oh my gosh.
Just kidding. Lord, coming out of that opportunity to worship you, the words and those songs are so rich. And then to just be able to sing those back to you, which really, I feel like even as we're singing them, you're singing them into our hearts. As we just come into a better understanding of the gospel and the impacts that it's had on our life, what a perfect way to set up this moment now where we open your word and see what your word has to say for us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would just open up our hearts to receive what you want to say. And again, we've said this a lot in the past few weeks. There's people in this room all over the stinking spectrum. There's people who don't know Jesus at all, and they know it. There's people in here who, they've been walking with Jesus for a few years now and are following hard after you. There's some that, they think they're following you, but they have no clue how far from you they really are. And everybody in between all those spots. And so, Lord, you know where each of us is, and you know what each of us needs to hear and receive from your word tonight. And so I pray that where each of us is in our walk with you, that you would speak straight into that. And I pray for Rob, Lord. I know that you have given him a word to say this evening through Open Up the Bible. And I pray that as we talk about how important your word is to this ministry, it's at the core of who we are. I pray that you'd speak powerfully through him, boldly through him. And as big of a dude as he is, as strong as a guy as I'm sure he is, apart from your spirit, he is so weak when it comes to communicating. We're all weak when it comes to communicating. And so I pray, Lord, that you would empower him through your spirit, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say to us tonight, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, guys. Well, it is really, really good to be here with you guys tonight. This is one of my first times in Ankeny. Got here in Iowa from Ohio about 8 months ago. So one of my first times in Ankeny, treated myself to zombie burger tonight. So we'll see how that plays out. I had a number four, which means it's a grilled cheese, a couple patties, and another grilled cheese. Feeling a little rough right now, okay? Washed it down with an Americano, not the greatest choice. But it's so good to see this. 3 weeks of SALT Company here in Ankeny. God is doing some crazy things here in Iowa and beyond with the SALT Network. And every single one of us, whether you know it or not, we're wrapped up in God's story. We're wrapped up in this grace-filled mission that God has. And hopefully, as you spend more and more time in SALT Company with SALT people, you kind of catch the vision that God has with the SALT Network, and you hear about church planting. But I thought a good way to start off would be to give you a snapshot of my story and a glimpse at my family. So I think there's a picture of my family. All right, so that's my wife, Lisa. She's amazing. We've been married. This will be 9 years this year. She's one of the best people, the greatest women I've ever met. Super fun. I spend a lot of time laughing, not necessarily with her, but more at her. She thinks she's really, really funny, but you know. But that's my daughter, Lily. Lily is 3.5 years old. She's awesome, super smart, nonstop talking, complete girl, right? I wake her up in the morning and it's like, How many bracelets and necklaces can we fit on that day? That's her, tutus every day, all right? And then that's Titus. He's about a year and a half old. Interesting thing with Titus is a year and a half, Lily's 3 and a half, and they're about 5 pounds away from each other, okay? So Titus is doomed to the offensive line. He's not gonna be any skilled position. He's gonna be a big boy, okay? But that's my family, and quite honestly, one of the things that every time that I get up and get a chance to speak and to teach the Bible and introduce my family, it just causes me to even just stop and just thank God, because looking at that picture, it doesn't seem to make sense. My story is interesting, just like every one of our stories is. It's kind of riddled with pain and shame and a lot of just immorality. Didn't grow up in the church. I knew one Christian growing up. His name was Ben. Super weird kid, okay? Like, I did not want anything part of that, okay? But had always like a weird affinity for God, but had no idea who Jesus was. And, you know, my life, I led a pretty moral life. And then my senior year in high school, everything changed for me. My dad, my family, you know, has struggled with a lot of mental illness. My dad had post-traumatic stress disorder. And my senior year in high school, he killed himself. And that just, I mean, as you know, that would rock a guy. It created this hole in my life that I immediately tried to fill with anything that could numb the pain and hide the shame. And so that got me into drinking, that got me into drugs. I started chasing girls around, jumping in the party scene, you name it. Went to college at Bowling Green State University in Ohio, played football there, and just got wrapped up in that lifestyle. And it wasn't until my sophomore year where a guy named Andy that I played ball with, he was a lot bigger than me, a lot meaner than me. He beat me up a few times. I super respected him. He was a great guy, okay? Doesn't make all, yeah, weird, right? But all of a sudden I stopped seeing him at clubs and bars, and we were getting taped up for practice one day, and I just asked him, I'm like, hey, what's the deal, man? Did you get locked up? You got a girl, you on lockdown? Like, what's going on, you know? And he just looked at me and he was like, bro, I'm following Jesus now. And I can't be the man that we used to be. And I had never had a man that I respected that was just a manly dude talk to me like that about Jesus. And over that year, in the years to come, he must have shared the gospel with me a couple hundred times, and in not in a weird way, but as on the way to games and stuff, just sharing with me like what he was learning as he read the Bible, how God was changing his life. And there was something in me that was just, it was so compelling. I was like, maybe this is what I'm missing. But I never wanted to change. And it came down to my senior year, the NFL aspirations. I was told I was going to make millions of dollars. I had 13 surgeries on my knees throughout college. And the NFL aspirations at the combine, like, were taken away. And literally in that moment, I lost my identity. Rob Warren equaled football. We removed football, and Rob Warren equaled. And there was no point for me to live. Got super depressed, got into some heavy drugs, started drug trafficking. And after a night in jail, God just grabbed a hold of me. And I remember sitting in my house thinking, like, is this really what my life is about? I'm a burnout. Like, I'm a drug pusher. Like, what am I doing? And in that moment, just grabbed my Bible, and those 3 or 4 years of conversations that Andy had with me all came together, and I finally saw Jesus. And it changed my life. And I Googled how to become a Christian. Still hope I did it right, okay? But, you know, I became a Christian. Like, I was surrounded by drug paraphernalia and beer cans. And it was, ever since then, God has just radically changed my life. And guys, you know, when I think about my journey to standing here tonight, it quite honestly doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, stories like mine, stories like some of yours, like, shouldn't end like that. It shouldn't have a good ending. But one of the things that I've learned, and one of the most compelling reasons why I'm even here tonight, is because, man, with Jesus, guys, everything ends good. And that's a truth that I've learned. And honestly, I'm so excited to talk to you guys about that tonight. I'm really honored to be here, and really excited because of this series that you guys have been going through. The last 2 weeks, you've been going through this series called At the Core, right? And you're looking at what the DNA of Salt Company is, what the lifeblood is around here. You guys have talked about the gospel. You've talked about mission. And we're going to keep going with this idea of what is at the heart of Salt Company. What are we all about? And when I think about this series, guys, this series isn't like super flashy or sexy or anything like that, but honestly, what this series is, it's just the concrete slab that you build a house on. It's so basic, it's so simple, but it's so crucial that if we hope to build a ministry that God would bless, that we could see people far from Jesus come into Jesus' family, this is the stuff that we need to camp out on. This is the stuff that we can never move past. And I'm pumped to get into this because tonight we're going to be talking about this core focus of the Bible, which is absolutely central to who we are at Salt Company. It's central to who my life, who I am as a man. Like, I mean, honestly, like God used the Bible to take me from the darkest of dark to seeing Jesus and bringing me into the light and changing my future. And so I'm excited to talk to you, but here's what we need to do first, okay? As we begin a conversation about the Bible, I have to mention a few things first, okay? And here's the first thing. One of the first things that we learn about God, all right, if we rewind all the way back to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, one of the first things we learn about God is that God reveals himself in words. That no less than 10 times throughout the first chapter of Genesis, we see this one particular phrase, God said. We see it over and over again, God said, God said. The reality is that we have a God who speaks. And this great truth is affirmed thousands upon thousands of times throughout the entire Bible. Every chapter, every book of the Bible speaks about this, how we have a God that speaks. And really, this is kind of at the foundation of the Christian faith, that our Creator, right, he created us humans in his own image, enabling us to communicate with him, to have a relationship. And I want you to know, guys, that this is the purpose of every single one of us. We've been created in the image of God for God. And we're created for this purpose of relationship. And until we find that, we're restless. And some of you, that's the reason that you're here. You're restless. You're going around, much like my life, and you're searching for meaning. You're searching for purpose. You're trying to grab a hold of things, whether it's girls, guys, partying, jobs, whatever. And it's not quite working. And God wants to break in and just say, here is what you've been created. And he's speaking. And this is the whole point of the Bible, that when we consider this book, all right, this book is all about getting to know the God who created us. But our relationship with God begins when he reveals truth about himself through the Bible, and we accept it, which is an act of faith. And as we do this, we begin to experience a life with God. It's absolutely imperative. And so as we get into this, we need to grab a hold of this prime reality that God reveals. The primary way that God reveals himself today is through this book. This is the primary way that he speaks to us. And so when we get into the words of this book, we need to understand that, guys, this is really God communicating his truths to us in human words so that we would understand him, that we would know him, and we would somehow be able to understand and comprehend just how good he is and who he has made us to be. Okay, so that being said, there's one big question. All right, I love asking questions. I think we should always ask questions. You should never just sit here and take what I say or Austin says or anybody else as truth. You need to ask questions. You need to seek it out for yourself. But the question that we have to ask is why? Simon Sinek, who is a speaker, he always says, you got to start with why. Why read the Bible? Why listen to God? Why listen to what you find in this book? You ever ask those questions? I mean, if we're honest, I mean, there's got to be times where you've read the Bible, if you've read the Bible, or you've been in type of any type of ministry church environment where you had to ask that question, man, why should I even read this? Those are really, really good questions to ask, and hopefully we're going to address that. So I want you to go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, all right? If you don't have a Bible, you have an app, pull open your app. Guys, if you don't have a Bible, let me even say this. There's Bibles sitting out there at Info Central. I want to encourage you on your way out to just grab one as our gift to you, because there's something, this is what we do. We come together as the family of God, to come together and we learn from God through his words. We open up the Bible to learn and we open up our lives to love. This is what we do. And so if you don't have a Bible, grab one on your way out. It'll be up here on the screen tonight. But while you get there, let me say this. It's so important to start with this idea of why. Why read? Because when we understand the why behind everything, it helps us to make the right decisions. And so as we get into this, all right, when it comes to the Bible, I want to give you the why tonight. All right, and what that's going to do is it's going to allow you to walk out of Salt Company, to go back home, to go to your apartment, go over where you live, and it's going to be able to allow you to make a decision. What are you going to do with the Bible? What are you going to do with God? And what are you going to do with your relationship with him? Because you're going to know the why. Then you can just say, I don't care, or I'm in. right? So 2 Timothy, this is where we're at, chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 16. Why? Why read the Bible? Okay, why listen to God? Why should I do that? Look at this, verse 16, chapter 3. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching. I want you to circle inspired by God. All right, underline it. You can write in your Bibles, all right? Inspired by God, right? Circle profitable. Circle that. It's profitable for what? For teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. I want you to circle that training, all right? We're going to come back to that. Training for righteousness, so what? So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so this is what I want to do. I want to give you three observations as to why. All right, why read the Bible? Why listen to God? I want to give you three observations to that. And then I want to give you one application for you to walk out of here with that is at the core belief of what we view the Bible and how we interact with God's word. Okay? And so the first observation is this, okay? And I'm a big note taker because here, chances are, guys, I don't care how good I do. This is about as good as I got, okay? So I'm not super great. But no matter how good of a speaker I am, like, you're not going to remember half of the stuff I say. So if you take a note on your phone or whatever, it's going to allow you to actually do something with it. So I'm all about taking notes, writing on your phone, texting people, whatever you got to do. Go ahead and go for it. The first observation is this. Look back to 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is what? It's inspired by God. Now, a couple things that we need to do with this, okay? Because this seems pretty simple and straightforward. But this is the thing that I've learned is I've been walking with God for a couple years and reading the Bible and doing all this stuff. I've learned that the Bible isn't necessarily just what it seems at times, right? That sometimes there's statements like this that's so straightforward, right? That you say, oh, okay, yeah, it's inspired by God. What does that mean? It's much like if you've ever been on like an Alaskan cruise or you've watched the Discovery Channel or something like that and you've seen like an iceberg, you've seen that. Like you just see it and it's like, okay, huh, ice, cool, right? Not that big a deal. You look under the surface a little bit and there is a mountain of ice and it's amazing. The Bible is like that. That sometimes there's things that we can just skim over and we're like, oh yeah, it's inspired by God. What does that mean? If we learn to read the Bible, if we do the work to uncover what God is telling us, it changes everything. So the first thing that we can see about this, inspired by God, is this to suggest that there is a God and we're not him. I want you to know that. We live in a world that embraces relativism and humanism, right? Which is all about, I sit on the throne and I decide what I want to do and what I like and what I think is true and I will do whatever I say or whatever I want no matter what anybody else says. And we, in effect, make ourselves God. But at the beginning of 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is Paul, an older pastor, speaking to a young pastor and church planner, and he's reminding him, there's a God and you're not him. And he's got something to say. And so this God who created everything, he gives us his very words to help us to know ourselves, to help us to learn something about him in this world that we live in. And so I want you to think about this. If the Bible is actually God's words and it's inspired by God, what we're dealing with tonight is not just talking about a book, but really we're dealing with an issue of authority. It's an issue of authority, and guys, we don't like authority, right? I mean, that starts when we're young. We don't like to be told what to do, right? I mean, someone else said amen. Did we do that here? Amen? No, I don't know. That's like a southern thing like Austin. Y'all say amen? No? I shouldn't. That's not nice. I shouldn't do that. Okay. Right? But like, here's the thing is, we don't like authority. I'll give you an example. My daughter Lily, right? Yes, sorry. She's super sweet, right? And all this stuff, and like, she'll hit Titus. She'll just hit him. And I don't know where she got that. She doesn't see daddy hitting mommy or anything. She just, it's in her, right? And I'm like, Lily, come here, girl. You cannot hit Titus. Okay, daddy, I won't do it. Bats her eyes or a little tutu, whatever, you know? I'm like, you understand, do not hit Titus or push him or anything. Just love him, right? She's like, okay, I won't do it. I'm like, all right. I sit back on the couch, I'm reading, and then she's like, hey, daddy. And she's standing by Titus, and she puts his hand on his head, and it looks like she's petting him. And I'm like, aw. Girl, it's so good. And then all of a sudden she's like, right? And just like knocks him over, right? She doesn't want to listen. And so much, guys, this is us. We don't like to be told what to do. It's an issue of authority. And when I mention authority, guys, we cannot miss how massive this is for us. That when we consider authority, we need to ask the personal question, and I want you to consider this, is guys, where does authority and truth come from in your life? Where does it come from? I mean, think about it. As you sit here, what drives your worldview? What informs the thoughts you have on issues? What shapes the way that you live? What shapes your behavior? What shapes what you think is moral or immoral or good or bad or evil? What shapes that? Where do you get that? Who has the authority in your life? And as you think about that, I want you to entertain this, is that I really believe that when it comes to authority, that we all fall into one of three categories. All right? That for all of us, when it comes to the formation of truth in our lives, we all gather this from one of three places. And you can think about this. You can think internal, external, or eternal. This is where it comes from. For every single one of us, we fall into one of these three categories. So some of us, if we're in this internal place where we are getting authority and truth internally, what that means is that you, in effect, think that you're God. You think that you determine truth and that you know what's right and you're going to do whatever you want regardless of what anybody else says. Not too far about the world that we live in. For those of us who maybe think more externally, right? This you, if you're external, it's what culture and society and friends and family say. So whatever people around you and the greater body of people around you are saying is true and acceptable and good, those are the things that you're gonna follow. Because you're looking externally for what is true in our world. The other option is that it's eternal, that we look to God. And whatever God says is true, that's what we do. And if you're a Christian, if you would call yourself a Christian, you don't get to choose. That it's always eternal. And since the Bible is the very words of God to us, as our Creator is speaking to us through this book, this should shape the way that we view everything. Ourselves, the people around us, the way that we behave, everything. And I remember for me, I realized this, okay? So when I became a Christian, had never read the Bible before, and I was so captivated by the reality that God could forgive someone like me, that I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta hurry up and learn about Jesus so I could tell all my friends. So I literally, my senior year in college, locked myself in my room and read the Bible in a month and just sat there and just read hours a day. Like, just that's kind of weird when I look back on it, right? And everybody's looking at what happened to him, right? But as I did this, I remember having the thought, oh my gosh, like God has an opinion about everything. Like he has thoughts and opinions on how I use my money, or is it even my money? He has thoughts on the type of man I should be and how I should act as a husband and a father. He had thoughts on my sexuality. He had thoughts on how I should view other people and behave and all of these things. And then I stumbled upon a passage in Isaiah 55, and I want to read that to you tonight. And it changed everything for me. And this is what we see. Take a look at this. It's on the screen. Isaiah 55, this is God speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Guys, the reality is every single one of us, we have some thoughts about things. We have some ways that we go about doing things. We have some ways that we view people. We have some ways that we view politics and sexuality and sin and good and all of this stuff. But God says our thoughts are not necessarily his thoughts. And when it comes down to it, his thoughts are actually higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. And so what that practically means is that if we're in Christ, if we're a Christian and we're getting our authority eternally, his thoughts and his ways become our thoughts and our ways regardless of how we feel about them. So we read the Bible and this is God speaking to us and he says, this is wrong. And we say, that doesn't feel wrong. I actually like doing that. But you're king. You're on the throne. I'm not. I listen. It's an issue of authority. It's inspired by God. That's the first observation. The second observation is this. Look back at 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is inspired by God. The Bible is inspired by God, and it's what? It's profitable. It's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I want you to notice the emphasis on profitable. All right, so Paul starts off by talking about Scripture. He says that it's inspired by God, and not only that, but he qualifies that, and he says it's profitable, it's useful. It's not just a book, but it's something, it's for your good. That if you think about this, guys, there are so many words, there are so many voices that surround us today, from advertising to friends to society to culture, like social media, like whatever. There are so many words, and so many of them are not profitable. But here, we have the very words of God. And he speaks. We have a God who speaks. And he speaks to us to help us. Because his words are useful to us. And I want you to know this, that God's word is for our good. Even when it doesn't feel like, man, that doesn't feel like what I would think. Because the Bible is not just a collection of stories and fables and myths and just a bunch of human experiences combined into this book. It's not just human expressions about the God who created everything. This is not a human book. This is a spiritual book. This is a divine book that changes everything, that through the Holy Spirit, God reveals himself to us. He shows us Jesus. He shows us the one that we've been created by, through, and for. And he shows us the plan that he's got for every single one of us. So we have to ask another question. Remember, always ask questions. What is it good for? All right, Paul says it's profitable, it's useful, but then he says this, look, it's good for what? For teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, for training, for equipping. Right? And these are words that, man, they suggest something. They suggest that we don't know it all. Because believe it or not, I've been wrong about things before. Right? And so have you. And it's not because you're stupid. It's not because I'm stupid. It's just because we have lacked information at times to make the right call. And what Paul is saying here is he's saying, man, we're missing out on something. We don't know the full picture. There's something that we need to learn. There's some things that need to be called out in our lives, and there's things that we need to be corrected on. And what he's really kind of suggesting is that there's something wrong. There's something wrong with this world. There's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with me. Right? We're jacked up. But this thing called sin, right? We all have a different experiences with that word. I know some of you think about like an angry street preacher with a fire shirt on or something like that, right? Sin is just anything and everything that's in opposition to who God is and what God says. And every single one of us struggles with it. There's one perfect person here. His name is Jesus. And we love him, we sing to him, and we teach about him. Every one of us here is really messed up with this sin. We have it. Even the most godly among us in this room are messed up with sin. There's no sinless people. Google it. Google sinless. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find some desserts in a strip club in Texas. All right? There's no sinless people. Promise. We all have it. And it's just messed up everything. It's messed up the world. It's messed up our relationships. And it's messed up our relationship with God. Because, guys, the reality is that we are created. We were created to be with God, and everything was perfect. We were in perfect relationship with him. And then sin came in the world, and just the nature of sin is sin separates. It separates us from each other, and it separates us from God. And if this sin issue in all of our lives doesn't get fixed somehow, this is where we get into the conscious, terrible reality of hell that no one likes to talk about. But God, being a good father who loves us, doesn't allow that. Enter Jesus into human history. He lives a life that I couldn't live. He dies a death that I should have died. And on the cross, he died for my sins in my place. And Martin Luther called this the great exchange, that on the cross, Jesus takes my sin and he gives me his righteousness, closing that gap and bringing me back to God. That's the gospel that you talked about week one. This is everything. That's the whole point of the Bible. That the Bible has a hero. His name is Jesus. Every word, every page, every chapter of every book of this book is about Jesus. God reveals his plan to save broken, messed up people who cannot save themselves. And that's why Salt Company exists, to make the name of Jesus so loud in Ankeny that it's hard for people to not know him. It's the gospel. It's the greatest story ever told. So the observations, right? It's inspired by God. This book is inspired by God. It's profitable for us. It teaches us something about Jesus, something about ourselves. The last observation is this. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Take a look at this. All scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I want you to notice the words training. Training and equipped. These are different words, right? You can teach me, you can correct me, and you can rebuke me, and I can just sit there and do nothing. That doesn't require anything of me. I can literally sit there. Training is different, right? If you've ever been an athlete, if you've tried to learn a skill of some sort, you realize that you have to put forth effort to train to do that. Or you can't just like sit there and everybody just talk at you and you don't do anything and you're like, yep, I can do it all now, right? No, you have to train. You have to put forth effort. You don't just listen to words. Paul says elsewhere to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4, he says to train yourself for godliness. That there's something that we do alongside of what God does. You know, and many people think, you know, and many well-intentioned Christians, we think that, man, all we got to do is just believe and we just got to sit there and just, man, I'll just come to Salt every week and Austin is just going to spew grace on me and I'm just going to be great. And I'm going to become more and more godly the more and more times I come to Salt and Keystone. But guys, that's not it. Salvation is by grace alone through faith. Growing with God takes effort. Some of you guys, you believe in Jesus. He's forgiven you. You've come to him, but you're just stagnant. You're kind of like a beautiful cesspool. Right? That you're just, there's no movement. I don't know. That makes sense, maybe? You got it. But right? Dallas Willard said, God's grace is not opposed to effort, only earning. That there's something that God does in the life of a Christian, and there's something that we do. And those working together is how we grow closer. I want you to hear this. The point of the Bible, I heard this week, the point of the Bible is not just to learn and to finish, but it's to change. And when you think about Jesus, when you look at the words, the works, and the ways of Jesus, we know that Jesus was all about change. He was all about transformation. That Jesus came into this world to transform the course of human history. He came into this world to transform our view of ourselves. He came into this world to transform the entirety of our being. He's all about transformation and change. Now, here's the interesting thing. As people, you know, we tend to get confused about this. We tend to get confused about Jesus' desire and purpose. That for many of us, you know, we think that the most important thing for us to do is just to accumulate information. And so what that looks like is this, is maybe some of you walk in here and you're like, man, I really do want to grow closer to God. And you're genuine about that. You've put your faith in Jesus. He saved you from your sin. And you're like, I want to grow with God. I want to be closer to him. And the response that you get from many people, and some of you have been told this, is that you need to start learning. You're given a Bible reading plan and a list of books, and you're said, go and read those. And after you read all that stuff and you learn and you take some notes, then you will grow. Now, here's what I'm going to say. That's part of it, guys, but that's not all of it. That's a very malnourished view of what walking with Jesus is about. See, information is not at all a bad thing, but it's not the only thing. Jesus wasn't just about information, but he was also all about action. And what we see from Jesus is this equation, right? That when information meets action, transformation is the natural result. This is it. And so I tell you that to say this, all right? I want to end tonight with demystifying in simplifying the question that so many people ask. I would say this is probably a commonality in some way, shape, or form for all of us. Is we ask that question, how do I grow closer to God? And that's one of those Christian questions, right? That, how do you answer that? If someone asked you that, like, what would you say? Well, read your Bible and pray. Is that it? Stop sinning. Confess your sin. Okay? Is that it? I mean, how do you do that? How do you grow closer to God? Because we do not have to over-spiritualize this. Right? That really, if you want to grow in your relationship with God, there's two things above all that you need to engage with. And they revolve around God's word to us that we're talking about tonight. It's kind of like this. Okay, how many of you guys, you just loved riding your bike when you were younger? Anybody? Okay, I loved it. Okay, because really, honestly, if you were just committed to pedaling, you could go anywhere, right? So I would get on my bike and I would just go to the park. I'd go to my friend's house, the pool, football practice, you name it. It made me feel free because home life was rough sometimes. And so I would just get on my bike and I was just like a nomad, right? And just my own little world, right? As little Rob. And so I would just go. And I remember one day, I was a little kid, probably in elementary school, I was riding my bike. And I can still remember this. I was in the neighborhood that I grew up in. I was probably too far away from home, farther than my parents let me go. And I remember I was just pedaling. And then all of a sudden, clunk. Like my pedal just fell off and I bit it hard, okay? And I remember this so vividly because two things happened. One, I smacked my head on the concrete and it hurt really bad. But then I remember getting up and I looked and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was terrible. And there was a family in the front yard over here and they were all laughing at me. And I remember thinking, I'm like, that lady has a kid that she's playing with. Why is she laughing? Come on, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay. So I picked up my dignity and I'm like, all right, what do I do? Right? I gotta fix this. And so being a little kid, I don't have any tools. And what do little kids do? I'm like, I'm just gonna put it back on, right? And so I just put it back on and it stayed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to be a repairman or something, right? And so I get back on my bike and clunk, right? It falls off, right? And so I'm standing there again and I'm thinking, okay, what do I do now? And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, my dad is literally gonna kill me if I do not get home. What do I do? And I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna go for it. I'm gonna use one pedal, right? I'm just gonna use one pedal and go. So I want you to just to picture this in your mind's eye. Just picture like me as like a sixth grader, okay? So I'm like 6 feet tall, like 100 pounds. I look like Bambi, can't stand up. I got a huge head. And I'm like kind of like trying to ride a bike with one pedal, okay? Not going anywhere, right? Okay, and so the point is this, okay? The moral of the story, guys, is you cannot ride a bike. It's impossible to ride a bike with one pedal. You don't go anywhere. You can't make any progress. And so here's what I want you to think of. The Christian life is like that. It's like two pedals on a bike. You need two pedals to move forward and to make progress. And that's the key to growing with God. And the two pedals are this: hearing from God and responding to God. That we hear from God through the Bible, through his words to us, and we respond to what God says in the Bible. That we hear from God and we respond to God. We hear from God, we respond to God. And it's like pedals on a bike, and this is what pushes us forward. Some of you guys, you don't feel like you're making any progress, and the reality is you're probably trying to ride a bike with one pedal. Maybe you read your Bible, but you're not doing anything about it. Maybe you're not even reading your Bible, and so you're just stuck there with a bike with no pedals, which doesn't do anything. This is how we grow in our connection with God. And the Bible is absolutely central to growing with him. And I know some of you, you say, man, I've never heard from God. Go home tonight and read the Bible out loud. You will literally hear God speaking to you. That is what this book is. So here's how I want to do what I want to do. Three observations I gave you, one application to close. James chapter 1, I want you to turn there. And this is how we're going to close. James is Jesus's little brother. I find it interesting that James grew up with Jesus. He learned from him. No doubt he was writing down through inspiration of the Holy Spirit in James chapter 1 what he heard from his little brother, or from his older brother Jesus. And this is what James says that is so relevant to us. Chapter 1, verse 22. but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in the mirror, for he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. Guys, God wants to bless us. He wants to meet us. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us. He wants to give us a new hope, a new life, a new future. And it's by these two pedals, hearing from God, responding to God. And I'll say this, James is talking about what so many people do today with the Bible. So many of us in this room, myself included at times, and he uses this analogy of a mirror. All right, how many of you guys at some point today you looked in a mirror? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, I can totally tell, okay? Not nice again, right? But we have mirrors everywhere. You have mirrors in your house, in your bathroom, right? In your car. Some of you, you carry mirrors in your pockets. Ladies, right? Guys, if you do that, okay. Austin can talk to you about that next week, okay? Right, but we have mirrors everywhere, and he's using this analogy, and he's saying it'd be really weird. A religious view of Scripture is someone that looks into a mirror and then walks away and forgets what they look like. It would be like me waking up and coming here. I didn't wake up. I woke up this morning and then came here later. But, you know, I come here, I get all dressed and look in the mirror, and I'm like, okay, I look presentable. And I come out, walk out the door, and someone says, hey, Rob, tell me what you like most about yourself. And I'd be like, you know, I really love my long, silky hair and the fact that I'm pretty petite and have a really small head. It's cute, right? You'd be like, what are you? No, like strike three. Your head is huge. Stop, right? It wouldn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But it'd be so weird for that to happen. But James says, we do this all the time with the Bible. That so often we open up the Bible, we read what it says, and we say, oh my gosh, the Bible is kind of like a mirror. It's showing me who I am. See, we don't just read the Bible. The Bible reads us, and it shows us who Jesus is, who we are in comparison to him. We see our sin, and we're reading the Bible, and we say, okay, I see how I need to change. I see how I need to grow. I see my sin. I know what I'm supposed to do. I understand it. I'm going to get it. And then what we do is we say, okay, that's good. And then we walk away, and we forget. And we don't do anything. And we get confused when we don't grow in intimacy with God. And it feels like we're stuck. It's about two pedals. Hearing from God, responding to God. And guys, when we hear from God and we respond to him with action, God says you're going to be saved, you're going to be blessed, you're going to be wise, you're going to be transformed. And the Bible is absolutely essential to who we are and who we are created to be. That God speaks. And when we hear from God, I want you to know this, this is kind of like the big idea, that when we hear from God and respond to God, we will never be the same. Never. Jesus is the hero of the Bible, and he changes everything. And so two practical steps for you guys, for me too, as I stand here. I want to give you two things to walk out of here. So what do I do? So what? Right? You just listen to me talk for 30 minutes. So what? This is what I would say. Number one, read your Bible. Read it. Hear from God. Jesus is calling. That's why you're sitting here. He's brought you here to speak to you. And the way that he speaks is through his word. Read your Bible. And number two, do what the Bible says. Respond. Guys, it is so easy, so simple, but so hard to do, but it changes everything. That's it. I told you, it's not sexy, it's not flashy. You learn this in kids' church, right? Some of you guys grew up in Awana and you're like, oh, this is the first thing I memorized. But did you do it? Hear from God, respond to God. And as we do this, guys, we're gonna get caught up in this mission that God is doing. He's gonna be changing us in using us to change our campus, to change the city, to change the world. Let's pray. God, thanks for the Bible. Thanks that you're such a good dad, that you speak to us, that you tell us about yourself, you tell us about who we are, you encourage us, you correct us, you teach us, you call us out, you equip us. And so, Lord, I pray for every single one of us, all these students here, as we seek to know you more, God, would you give us the discipline to regularly spend time with you, to want to hear your voice. God, would you just give us the courage to respond? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.